Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
All right, let's get to the magic hat.
It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. We'll take a little peekaboo at day three of Big Ten Media Days, the final six, right? This is it. Six more coaches to go, and I think it's all wrapped up today in Chicago.
Jed Fish and the SIG.
We get fish sticks. We get the SIG today. It's going to be a big day. Day
three. Who else
three.
Is left?
I actually
Kyle Whittingham.
Kyle Whittingham. I have it right here.
Yeah, Locksley.
We're all dying to hear from Mike Locksley.
Who is clearly going to get fired this year.
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, Nebraska kicking things off, and David Braun at Northwestern.
Weird that Nebraska of all the teams, and I know, it's all dumb, guys. Stanford, ACC.
Mm-hmm.
Something weirdly sticks out for me about Nebraska Big Ten. I cannot get it out of my brain.
Have you seen their new uniforms?
Nebraska?
Yeah.
No, they're not doing new uniforms.
They're doing new uniforms. Let me tell you.
I mean, they haven't been winning in their current ones.
That is true. To the Josh Allen point, you might as well shake it up
a little bit.
It's like, yeah. Adidas, I love your golf gear. What are we doing? It looked like they just inserted it into like an AI prompt of like, give me the most generic recreated 2026 jersey that you could find. And it's not a good look. I'll just tell you that much. So we'll get to that at some point here in the final. It is Magic Hat time, though, ladies and gentlemen. We always look forward to the Magic Hat. Every single week, we get ready, and now it is here, and we are ready to Magic Hat. The way it works is we put a prompt into the hat. Jason Swigart pulls that prompt out of the hat, reads it off. We tell you whose story it is, and we tell you what the story is. What is up first?
Good night, sweet prince.
Okay, it's a great place to start. Look, there's a little bit of news that goes in the face of this, but we're not going to let news get in the way of a good time because I don't think it's going to mean much in the end run of things.
Okay.
There was a report that came out last night that Liv feels like they have found $250 million in funding to keep their season going, which their purses, prize pools per tournament, are like $50 million. So I don't know how long you're going to be able to survive at $250. Not to mention the fact that you have all these lawsuits hanging over your head. But it came out earlier this week that their team championship event was going to be canceled at the end of the year. And I also believe the state of Louisiana and the city of New Orleans are both suing them because they canceled their event in New Orleans and they did not pay the state and the city government officials back their money.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this up is because these are two people who are very respected in the broadcasting industry. These are two people who are iconic for their different ventures that they have done. David Faraday is one of my favorite voices all time in golf.
Yeah. Oh, it's sad that we've lost
all
him.
Time,
it's
dude.
A liver.
Yeah. Arlo White, who is their play-by-play guy, huge in European soccer, if I'm not wrong.
He was. He was the lead guy for NBC.
Wait, Arlo White is on Liv?
He's their play-by-play
That's
guy.
Where
he's
the went. Guy in Lasso. That's why he's not on soccer anymore.
Because he's doing Liv Golf.
They went to Liv Golf, and they went into broadcasting exile.
So this came from a couple of months back. The initial reports of the Saudis pulling their funding.
Yeah,
and
this
like,
is when all the news started breaking,
right?
And the tour was going to be canceled and blah, blah, blah.
This was their first event after that. Now, keep in mind, all the news that I just gave you about shutdown events and lawsuits and Saudi pulling all of their money, and now they're desperate for any sort of life injection that they can get in cash. Here is Arlo White and David Faraday opening the broadcast.
David, first of all, delighted to report that the reports of the imminent demise of the Liv Golf League were, in fact, greatly exaggerated. I've had a good chat with Liv CEO Scott O'Neill in the last hour. He was very confident about the future, very bullish about the future of the Liv Golf League. and we'll bring you that interview very soon during the show. David, what have you made of another week of noise this week?
Wow, it has been amazing, Arlo, for sure. I've been in the professional game for 50 years now, and I don't think I've ever had 2 or 3 days where there was more absolute nonsense. You know, it's spread out, and you know, there are still some writers and broadcasters that take pride in their work, but this generation has spawned, you know, a bunch of fast typists, you know, that consider themselves to be experts, and evidently they're not.
Yeah, it must be exhausting trying to will the LIV Golf League out of existence. Take a day off, everybody. Enjoy the golf.
That was the open of their broadcast about 2 months ago, and now they have canceled their team event to end the season. And look, it's going to die. We all know it's going to die. You can try and inject $200 million. Why would anybody invest in it? I don't know. The best players are going to leave that tour because the paychecks won't be the same. Their paychecks were probably nice, Arlo White and David Faraday. I don't know what their future would be if the league folds in broadcasting. Would one go back to soccer? Would one be welcomed back by the PGA Tour and the Golf Channel? Well, I don't know the answer to that. Man, is that stuff nasty.
First of all, I didn't know Arlo went over there.
He's the LIV play-by. Well, nobody watches LIV Golf. That's why you didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
They have 192 viewers on the CW at 3 o'clock in the morning in Thailand.
But when it dies, are those two guys going to be welcome back?
I don't know. It's one of the bigger questions about all of this ending. Who's welcome back and who's not? I certainly love David Faraday. I think that's a ridiculous look, basically going the Trump fake news route when none of it was fake news. The Saudis pulled their funding. It all ended up being true, and you're acting as if this is some, this isn't real, modern social media nonsense. He's incredibly entertaining. I miss having his voice on the PGA Tour, the league that people actually watch.
His interviews were always good.
They're great, dude. His show was fantastic, man. I love Faraday's show, and so I don't know. It's a fascinating question in the months to come of, if you're running the PGA Tour, who's welcome back and who's not?
Well, if you're going to welcome golfers back, I think you
should. They're not going to welcome them all back, though.
Not
that's
all
a thing.
Of them, but like.
Would you welcome Phil Mickelson back?
Well, I don't think anybody's welcoming him back.
Time will settle that. Like, we all know that. Tiger's had some controversies.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
But I could see in like 5 years some moment, and they're like, you know, Phil, can you come back and do this? And he does. Right. And we go, oh, Phil Mickelson, look at that.
They're trying to carve it out as if like major champions might have a pathway, but non-major champions won't. This extends all the way to broadcasters. I was reminded of that with some of the news this week, and I remembered that clip, and that was a really bad look for a couple of professional broadcasters just reading the Saudi talking points. Mm.
What you get?
You guys ready for this one?
I'm ready for this one.
So there
what
was
do I
a
get?
Well, there's a interesting story. Americans reveal what they do and do not want an inheritance from family.
Oh.
So a statue of Abraham. It starts off with this: a statue of Abraham Lincoln, a butter knife made of solid gold, and a talking fish. These are some of the things Americans say they've inherited from a loved one. A new survey of 1,200 U.S. respondents, conducted by a research firm on behalf of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, asked people to name the most interesting possessions passed down, and saw Roman artifacts, a jacket from a well-known 70s country music outlaw, and a giant garage-sized painting of a dog named. One respondent said they received a bale of cotton signed by John Wayne, and then they proceeded to talk about things they didn't want.
A bale of cotton?
So a majority, 51% of Americans, would rather inherit a few select items from a loved one rather than everything that they own. Nearly half of Americans surveyed, 49%, say they'd actually rather inherit nothing at all than have to deal with a relative's belongings. And I just want to start off, because we're all going to say things in this segment that absolutely are a little offensive. The day my mom passes, I want 99.99% of that stuff not with me. Goodbye.
Send it to another kid or just throw it away?
Out of here.
Dumpster.
Not kid. What am I going to put that on my kid for? I don't want
it. No. I meant like a sibling of yours. Like have a sibling deal with
it. I have three other siblings. Yeah. If they want to go through the junk and
do it,
you by all means do it.
Yeah.
But my mom has so much stuff. I want nothing to do with any of it. Where are you guys at inheriting from your folks?
I dread this idea because I'm really bad with the... My mom recently gave me a bunch of, like, bins of childhood stuff of mine. Not recently, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And the wife got to a point where it was like, this stuff's, like, this is taking up space in the garage.
It's a burden.
I didn't want to go through it because it's also, like, it's my childhood. So it's, like, it feels weird. And I ended up going through it. I ended up throwing a lot of it away because it's stuff that I don't need. And the feeling that I had throwing it away was a very strange one.
Like guilt and shame mixed with, yes, I need to do this?
Yes. Yes. And I didn't know how to feel. I felt like I'm throwing away my life.
Exactly.
In 20 years, am I going to wish that I held on to this stuff, that I had this random email or a piece of art, whatever it was, right, going through it? I dread this idea of having to do that because my parents have a lot of stuff. What's keepable? What's not? What do you hold on to for nostalgia purposes? What do you not hold on to? Are you just going to take it to a dumpster and throw it away? Their life's belongings? I dread this thing. I know.
Dead.
Yeah. I know.
Their
I
life's
know.
Done, so should the stuff.
I get it. You're not wrong. It's 100% valid point. There's a weird guilty feeling internally of like, I'm throwing away their stuff. And it's, I don't know. I dread this day. I have not thought much about it yet.
Swag, you encountered a real scary situation where you thought you might be dealing with this kind of situation.
Well, fortunately, when my dad did the trailer, when he was hauling the fifth wheel, he had to downsize significantly.
So he got rid of a lot of stuff.
So he got rid of a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have much. My mom and stepdad, they're still in the same house. There's a fair amount of stuff.
And you live in a condo. It's not like you got this.
You don't have room.
I don't have
for
no.
You don't
storage.
Have room.
And when I went there when I was by myself, yeah, I pared it down. There's maybe two boxes of stuff that's like from youth growing up. So I don't have that much extra. I mean, there's a ton of crap, and we need to have a purge of just.
Sure.
Junk
in general, yeah.
But in terms of like stuff from my childhood or growing up or keepsakes or whatever, I don't have very much there.
45% of Americans polled feel they are running out of space in their home, and it's leading to incredible frustration.
Yeah,
the majority of respondents, over 65%, say they're frustrated by how their stuff is organized at least weekly or more. Hand up on that.
Oh yeah.
One.
We're and all lazy when it comes to
over half are frustrated by their belongings not being organized in some way multiple times a week, and one in four say it's a daily grievance.
Yeah, I'm really glad in this case to have the brother that I have too, because I know there are cases out there where this gets really, for lack of a better phrase, ugly, and you get like vultures circling as siblings of like, ooh, I've been waiting for that.
Yeah.
And then you go through and you start picking stuff off. Like, we're also in mourning. I'm very thankful to have the brother I have in that case, because neither of us will want to do it. We'll want to throw anything away. We'll fight over anything. And it will be more of an emotional time than a moment to capitalize.
No, my brother and I are the same way. We'll be like, and there's a few things that I think my mom has designated.
Yeah, put it in the will. Who do you want to have?
And after that,
settle the debate.
After that, then it's just stuff.
Right. Then it's selling
is this
stuff
useful
off
to
if
you.
Need to,
other than that, it's like, what do we do with all their clothes? Do we do an estate sale? Do we give it to Goodwill? What do we? All that sort of stuff. So
that's a tough question. Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's sad that they lose a parent, and then you're like, damn you.
Now I have to deal with all of this.
Dude, it's more the non-valuable stuff like the photos.
Yes.
And that sort of stuff.
Well, that's what the majority of the poll respondents said is that's the stuff they want.
The valuable stuff
is
easy.
Sentimental
stuff. If somebody wants it, take it. If not,
if
there's value, sell it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
When my uncle passed away 14 years ago, we had to go through his stuff, and I only helped a little bit. There were sheds and storage facility, like, packed to the gills with rusted motor parts. And it was just like,
at least that's easy to make the call of throwing away, but then you got to deal with it.
Where do you even begin? Because you got to go through it. Because the other thing is the organization part.
Right.
Maybe there's really valuable documents at the bottom of this box with
Could be a Wilt Chamberlain starter's jacket in there somewhere.
They got some original stock certificate to something,
Right.
Buried in there, whatever. Okay. Stick it to the man.
This is a good one. Talk about sticking it to the man. We all love that. We are horrible. Well, I shouldn't say we. I speak for myself. I'm a terrible sports gambler. Can't wait for Sprague and the Line to be back. It's almost that time of year. It's right around the corner. May I introduce to you a new story and a guy who I think we should all get behind? This is a 24-year-old in Chicago. His name is Thomas McPeak. And he did something, and they're not letting him get away with it.
These are the winners I'm holding, theoretically, or what should be $800,000 in my hand.
We meet 24-year-old Thomas McPeak in the home he shares with his parents. An area in their house is a shrine to their favorite teams.
You researched, you've read every single one of these books.
Yeah, this was a calculated attack, I guess you could say, where I thought I had an edge.
This refers to stacks and stacks of sports bets placed last year. Complicated wagers on football called parlays, where several events all have to happen to win.
Called parlays.
I think that parlay might have to be a drop. That's pretty good. Parlays. Every time
parlays.
We do spray in line. That needs
sounded
to be a drop.
Like AI.
So this guy, Thomas McPeak, he's 24 years old, living with his parents, right? Like, what am I going to do in life? Who's not at the age of 24? And
I would think real estate in Chicago might be
a little expensive. Well, he might have been able to afford some real estate. And now the sports books are telling him no. He spent months reading sports betting publications, studying parlay structures.
Okay.
And he, how bets from, you know, multiple events, they all got a cash, right? He identified what he believed was a consistent edge. Now, he's not saying what this edge, he's not, like,
I wouldn't either,
releasing his information on what his edge was, but he said, I think I found an edge. He found the way that odds are priced in a certain way that will give a sharp better an advantage. So in 2024, he walked into the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana, with roughly $30,000 on him, placed hundreds of small bets at different kiosks around the course of the week. He made $350,000.
Damn.
He then went to the some casino in Iowa with $400,000 and won another $450,000.
What?
Did the same thing, walking around placing small bets at different kiosks to not draw attention. His total winnings across two different casinos was over $800,000. When he returned to the Horseshoe to collect in 2024, his winning tickets were voided. And Caesars is saying that he had violated house rules by coordinating bets across state lines because he went to one casino in Indiana and one casino in Iowa, and that he structured them by small wage amounts. They refunded his $50,000 stake, and they kept the rest, and he is now taking them to court. He filed a lawsuit in 2025 in Nevada, and they are filing a motion to try and dismiss it. I don't believe that's happened yet. Now he's going to the news to try and get the word out there. He won $800,000 on parlays, and they're saying because he coordinated across state lines and gamed the system, we're not going to pay you.
What
out.
Is the argument that he did here that's illegal?
That's
he didn't
the
coordinate
curious
with
part.
Who, himself at a kiosk?
Right. I don't get it. I don't get
he
how they're getting
win
away
this
with
case,
this
case, right?
I would think so.
Also, $800,000 to you is what?
At Caesars, what was
Come
the
on.
Yeah, what
oh,
was
yeah.
the profit of Caesars last year?
I don't even want to begin to know. It starts with a B. It starts with a B, okay? It starts with a B. Give this 24-year-old whiz kid his $800,000.
I mean, it's just
this will
insane.
Be an curious case to follow. Because this would be
I would be irate.
Something.
Imagine if you came up with something, you're
if
like, dude, I got
A&A
it.
I went to A&A and won something, and then I went to Spirit Mountain and won something.
I also was like,
I'd be like, wait, you're saying I...
Excuse me? What?
What?
You can't pay me? Can you teach me? What is it? What was the game? What did you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
What'd you come up with?
He clearly hit on the right
Clearly,
part
he figured something out. Yeah. Now, you have to have a high volume of money in order to make, like, right? Like, you'd be about $5 parlays.
Now,
you're getting $20.
Putting 10
so he
exactly.
went into the first casino with $35K. Right. I don't know if his parents, I don't know where that original down payment came
yeah,
from.
Who knows?
But he turned it into $400,000. Show back up. Hey, mom and dad, $35K to $350. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the casino might have said, hey, if this guy had come to the window with $30K for one parlay, now, is he doing the same parlays on a whole bunch? This will be a very interesting case. I actually hope it goes to trial because I would like to see a ruling on this. Does the casino get out of it saying, hey, if he came to the window with $30,000 for one parlay, we would have... Because they always have the choice
yeah.
not to take the action. They
right,
said, no,
it's too big of a wager.
That's too big of a wager for yeah. us. We'll take $5,000, but we don't want any more
it's
risk
like,
than that.
To me, it's a fundamental. It's one thing to find somebody scheming with multiple people and entities.
Counting cards.
It's another yeah. for a 24-year-old by himself at a kiosk because he did research.
No, I know.
You're what? You're fighting him over $800,000. It's nothing to you.
Right.
Yeah.
And said you should turn this into a marketing campaign. Look at this 24-year-old living in his mom's basement who made $800,000.
Exactly. I tell you right now, if I woke up on a Sunday morning right. and I'm opening up my DraftKings account, I'm going to do a dumb parlay and I'm going to lose my $4 bet. But I will yeah. tell you, I scroll and see the top and it says, Dave Portnoy's parlay play of the day. And I'm like, never. We'll never play that.
No.
If you show this cat,
I'd bet it.
Yeah.
If he just gives a five pick,
this is little Stevie's bet of the day.
I might be picking little Stevie.
I think he's onto something
here.
I think he's onto something there. Thomas McPeak, let's all stand with him. Stick it to the man. You deserve your money. Nice bets. A great text from Deal saying this is Teddy and Moses down the line having to throw away Dirt's PIL highlights. Never.
What would you think if Teddy ended up throwing away that?
If there is an afterlife and I am a ghost, I will haunt you.
PIL trophy.
In fact, I'm going to put it in my will that you rotate every other week.
It donated to Cleveland High School. It should be in the trophy case. How many football PIL players of the year have they had?
I mean, there's only one PIL championship in that trophy case.
Is there really?
Yeah, because I don't think they had a trophy in 1947. It's the only other one we won.
So you're probably the only Cleveland PIL player of the year.
I am the only living quarterback to ever win a PIL title at Cleveland. And somehow I'm not in the Hall of Fame. People don't forget. More Magic Hat next on the fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
That's right, folks. A little more Magic Hat. We'll get to that in one brief moment. Before we do, a couple quick updates for you. First off, on a story we talked about earlier, Shamar Stewart, word is out of Cincinnati that he has avoided a major injury.
Oh, my gosh.
He will be out several weeks, whatever that definition is for you, with a hyperextended knee. That's what they're saying. So his season does not appear to be over, so there's at least a bit of good news if you're a Bengals fan. And then secondarily, we have Jason Quick reporting this morning. Our city council stuff's just about to get underway.
Yes.
Here is your contingent of Blazers that has shown up.
They're there.
They are there.
Okay.
Dwayne Hankins, who we knew. That was confirmed last night. I think Orem was the first on that report. CFO Joe Loomis of the Blazers.
Okay.
Team lawyer Landis Anderson.
Okay.
Mike Wilkerson of Echo Northwest. What is that? I don't know. Team spokesperson, Charles Boyle. Hello, Mr. Boyle.
Yep.
And also Zandria Conyers, also a team spokesperson. And chief legal... Oh, no, Zandria. Sorry. Zandria Conyers is the chief legal counsel for the Blazers.
Okay.
So that is who is showing up.
So Echo might be maybe somebody that's done some design work for the Blazers.
Show them the ideas.
Let's see what I can find with Echo Northwest. Is.
Okay.
I'll see what I can
that's
look
fine.
At. That seems like a decent contingent, though, does
it
not?
It does. I'm fascinated by it.
Echo Northwest says, impact through insight. Complexity made
they're
clear.
They're either a consultant or a designer or something.
It's probably in design conversation, right? Like, they're not showing up today without the idea they're going to talk about the renovation. So
yeah.
You want somebody there to be able to talk about it.
Yeah. It sounds like a consultant.
Okay.
So that's you there.
Cheater?
Yes. Boy, this is a very interesting thing to admit out loud. Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
Everybody's favorite.
More of a Courtney guy.
She did an interview where they do these actor on actresses interviews, and I don't know what she was doing it for, but it was one of the magazines.
Okay.
And she's being asked by Teyana Taylor, who is an actress / musical performer.
Okay.
She is asked about ChatGPT. Now, famously, Kim K's been trying to do what for the last handful of years?
She's trying to become a lawyer.
She's trying to become a lawyer.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I want you to listen to Kim Kardashian, who has failed, I think, the bar exam like five times at this point.
I think she literally gave up, didn't she? Wasn't the last one
I don't know
it?
If she has given up. Okay. Maybe she has, maybe she hasn't.
Okay. Did she go to law school?
Online.
Online law school, yeah. Okay. She had tutors, and she just kept failing the bar exam.
It's called the University of Phoenix.
Right. Anyways, she's asked something, and she kind of admits something out loud about the way she goes about doing things as a student trying to be a lawyer.
Do you consider ChatGPT to be a friend?
No. I use it for legal advice. So when I am needing to know the answer to a question, I'll take a picture and snap it and, like, put it in there.
So you're cheating.
They're always wrong. It has made me fail tests.
Are you serious?
All the time. And then I'll get mad and I'll like yell at it and be like, you made me fail. Why did you do this?
So technically,
and it will
you do
talk
consider
back
it a friend.
Yeah.
So you consider it a friend. It's just...
No, I don't consider it a friend.
So she's a frenemy.
Yes, a frenemy. But then I'll talk. Then I will talk to it and say, "Hey, you're going to make me fail. How does like that make you feel? That you need to really know these answers. I'm coming to you," and then it'll say back to me, "This is just teaching you to trust your own instincts. Mm. You knew the answer all along."
Kim Kardashian's worth $4 billion.
I love the idea that she can have anything she wants in life. Except for something it takes actual work for. You can't sex tape your way to a law degree.
No.
And she's failed. And she can't buy they're not going to give that away for a price. You got to pass the bar.
Can't buy your way in.
Can't buy your way
can't
in.
Influence all, your way
you
in.
You just admit out loud that you cheat on your law exams is wild.
I put legal prompts into it.
Second thing is, I loved the admission there of, and then I try to make it feel bad. Like, you gave me the wrong answer. Yeah, you feel like good about that?
Damn you, robots.
That's a real...
Damn you.
Now, would you hire her?
No. Not for legal.
Am I a lawyer? Like, do I need a lawyer, or am I a lawyer running a firm?
You need a lawyer.
No.
Yeah. What? How? Follow up.
Well, we know why you're hiring her then.
Exactly. How serious are my charges? What am I on trial for?
High misdemeanor, maybe borderline felony.
Like, did I?
Not for felony defense.
Not a felony. No.
Not for a felony.
Misdemeanor. No. Yeah. What the hell?
Trespassing, Kim K. Kim K.
I think we just heard this one, but this is yours. End of Society.
Dude, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect. The synergy
we
is
just heard this.
This the synergy is just, we're flowing today, boys. We are flowing today. How about this? So Kim Kardashian can't pass the bar because AI is leading her astray.
Yep.
Dare I take us to Canada? Do you want to go to our great friends up north? I would like to introduce to you a man by the name of Bill Oliver. And this is at the New Brunswick Legislative Assembly in June, okay?
All right.
I'm going to play this for you, and I want to hear if you can catch it. This is him speaking in front of the House floor or whatever they call it, New Brunswick. This is him speaking to the other politicians on a policy. See if you can catch it.
One of the dangers associated with creating advocacy offices is that citizens often develop that exceed the powers actually granted to those offices. Here's a more natural flowing version of that section that reads like a legislative speech rather than a series of short points. Madam Speaker, one of my concerns with this legislation is the potential gap between what New Brunswickers may reasonably expect this office to accomplish and what the office will actually have the authority to do.
He put the prompt into ChatGPT and forgot to delete the part that was the prompt.
Because he didn't create the prompt and he didn't even read
you
it.
You see this guy and you're just like...
Some staffer just got fired.
I mean, yeah, I would argue this guy should be fired, man. Like, what are we doing here? And it reminds me of all of the olds warning us of the pitfalls of social media and technology.
Exactly.
And this guy's like, he looks like he's 75 years old,
yeah,
clinging to life in politics, yes, putting in prompts to ChatGPT to make your speech in front of the New Brunswick Legislative Assembly. Just get him out of here.
I think this is the other problem. I think we've had some local, or not local, but some U.S. politicians get caught clearly using ChatGPT.
Oh, we absolutely have.
In some of their speeches that we haven't played. Forget who it was, but it was somebody who was giving a speech, and it was them reading the prompt part, and it was like, this doesn't make any sense.
You gotta take that part up.
Sadly, man, because we don't care about the quality of human, we don't care if you've ever served any leadership role in a community. This is just popularity contest. Who's on my algorithm?
Yeah, it's back
to school.
Who has
a nice set of you-know-whats? Like, that's all we're doing now. From an election standpoint, because of that, you're going to get far more of this in society. This is going to get so much worse.
Yes, you will.
Before it ever gets better.
Yes, you will.
One more.
One more. What else we got in there?
FIFA for sale.
I read a whole story knowing you were going to pull that out. I knew you were going to get to it, and I find it
There's an update this morning, too.
Oh, we have new news?
Because there was a European update yesterday.
Yeah. Overlord of soccer in the world, FIFA president Gianni Infantino.
Absolutely scumbag human being.
President Trump's new bud, I mean, after the World Cup.
Could not sell your soul more than that human. Well, you
can't. What for?
Never mind.
A proposal where they would sell a 20% stake in FIFA to a group that's led by American investor Josh Kushner and J.P. Morgan.
Josh Kushner?
Josh? I've heard that last name before.
Is he related to...
Are we related to Jared?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
I believe it's his son or son-in-law or something.
I believe it is his son. And by the way, this is the money-making arm of FIFA. The 20%, it's where they make the money out of FIFA.
Yes.
We have had bad family relation things today. Let me make sure it is his dad. I don't know if it's his dad or not. It might be his brother.
Okay. How many Kushners do we got?
There's a lot of Kushners. Because his dad's name is Charles. His dad is the one that hired a hooker to sleep with his brother-in-law to keep him from testifying to the feds over a case of insider trading, and then said, if you testify against me, I will show this to my sister that you slept with a hooker because I paid for her and I filmed the entire counter. That would be Charles Kushner, the dad. Jared and Josh are brothers.
Okay.
I'm sure both pulled up by their bootstraps, yes, accomplishing things on their own volition.
So the stake would be in FIFA Forward Enterprises, FFE, that would raise huge funds in exchange for influence over for future World Cups. It would suppose.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
Yeah, Sepp Blatter's just laughing in his grave.
It's unbelievable.
So it would trigger $80 million payouts to each of FIFA's 211 members between now and 2037. Infantino set a September 19th deadline for all associations to accept the plan. However, UEFA, which is the continental Europe soccer governing body, already had emergency meetings. They are prepared to unequivocally reject the proposal, and they have said they will boycott all world FIFA events, including the 2027 Women's World Cup in Brazil next year.
Do we buy this that they'll actually do it?
I think they will.
I think Europe will, but sadly, you need an X amount of nations to agree. The world economy is a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many countries are going to just blindly accept this?
Yeah.
Now, I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't happen. I can't believe this is where I say that, but like, it's just crazy how it all has gotten to this point.
Every time I think about FIFA, I think they're struggling financially. That's a lot. I mean, that's, you know, they really need to get their budgets in order. And so
UEFA made it clear in a statement, and its 55 national associations, UEFA and its national associations will not participate in FIFA competitions.
Mm. I hope this happens and they actually do it.
The Women's Under 20 World Cup is scheduled to be competed in Poland this September.
So it goes from each country makes $10 million to each country now making 30 to 40, depending on the investor. Care to guess who wants to buy it outside of the Kushners and the J.P. Morgans?
Who else could be buying that?
You know, countries.
Anybody out there with some deep pockets that are looking to,
maybe abandon live golf and try to dive into a different sport?
They do have a lot of money available now.
You're not wrong.
I believe they're hosting the 2034 World Cup.
Already in cahoots with FIFA. You know, nothing wrong going on here.
God.
There you go.
It is unbelievable to have an event that is so beloved by so many. And the Olympics is the same thing. But. Yeah. To be so beloved by so many people and everybody get wrapped up into this incredible, display of sport.
It was a great spectacle.
While simultaneously having it be the shadiest,
so dirty,
sleaziest, grossest, most disgusting entity, arguably on the planet.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
There you go. There is your magic hat for this Thursday, July 30th. Thank you, everybody. Good submissions. Well
great
done.
Job.
As always, we'll give you the updates we have over the city council stuff. Wrap it up on a Thursday next on The Fam.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. 9:48. I got Stevie Brackett's out here in the bullpen. He's jumping in with Patrick Harris. Harris is back today, so they're coming up here in about 11 minutes from now.
I think Stevie is going to be doing some fill-in stuff when you're out.
Ooh, okay.
Week.
Yeah, I'm out next. I'm heading, well, maybe to some TBD. I mean, I'm still going to be out, but where are we going? I don't know.
Have you gotten any update on that? The Fingers wildfires, gosh. I don't know if they've changed.
They have not really changed.
No. Good news on the weather report says Saturday, at least at Mount Hood, is going to be 60 and rainy. So, like, you just hope that
maybe
that's colder and wetter and
that
central
way?
To just let God get rid of the fire.
Yeah.
I also just want to say I didn't put it in the magic hat. Mm-hmm. I'm too stupid. So I it sucks to be the guy asking the question when you're too stupid to actually help with it. Is anybody else shocked we don't have some kind of drone technology to go where lightning strikes and evaluate stuff?
That should be the technology and stuff that we're working on instead of sending random rockets into space for fun.
Yeah, I think somebody said we should be making forest fires the Manhattan Project. We should be like the best minds coming together to say,
how do we stop this?
Entire regions of worlds are on fire every year.
Know the moments, the threats, when they usually arise. Be ready.
Well, and then the
I heard a story on the news this morning that we're flying in like firefighters from Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's a long ass flight.
They do this every year.
Every year we got to shuttle them in to fight our fires.
Well, what I hate about it too is somebody that's somewhat on the internet. It's like when you see the story of Oregon has fire, it's like go click the comments. It's immediate. Maybe you should rake your forest.
Did we rake our forest?
First of all, the federal government stripped away wildfire funding for our state. I just hope people know that.
Well, why don't you get your rake and get out there and start raking?
Second
of
all,
if you care so much, why don't you grab that rake, get out there and get to work?
A lot of those fires are from random lightning strikes in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
They're not just like, oh, there's loose leaves, there's a fire.
Get your rake, get to work, all right? Come on, pick it up, put it down.
I just would have thought by this point, the technology and capability,
right.
be able to censor lightning strikes and send like random robot drones to go extinguish little trees on fire. It sucks. It's so bad what's happening over there.
I want to read a quote here from early last day of Big Ten Media Day. We'll have some stuff on that tomorrow. Matt Rhule quote, we didn't come to Nebraska to go 7-6.
Kind of.
That one's going to hang over your head this year. This one from P1 Tanner at the Fan Text Line. Don't forget the Uber Rich tried the form of the Super League of Soccer.
Oh, yeah. It failed miserably.
And there was enough blowback to kill that. I'm no big soccer guy, but UEFA already has their own cup that could likely compete on their own, given the teams from Europe. They just had three of the final four in the world. So,
55, I think, countries in total representing that, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. No, the UEFA. So UEFA plays a World Cup type competition just with UEFA every 4 years on the opposite two from the World Cup.
Okay.
Good point of a bring up there. I'd also, let me just throw in, if you feel like it's going to fail because of the past events, fair to understand and feel that way. Ask yourself, why did he set a deadline till December? A lot of time to bribe a lot of people.
Gives you some momentum, right? A little bit of time.
No, it's September 19th.
September 19th,
okay.
But still, it's
about 2 months away.
Why would you not make this decision now if you felt so confident about it?
Need some more bribing time, man.
Exactly.
Our guy Wright Gazaway has announced that the meeting between the Blazers and the city has begun. Dwayne Hankins is the first speaker.
Oh.
I have not seen any quotes come out of it yet. I do think some of the local news channels are live. When I watched the county one, I just went to Wright's
Twitter.
So is
this a public work session?
It's a public work session. Now, right. I don't believe...
So Dwayne Hankins is on television right now.
I will say that I don't
what
think
channel?
there's no like public speakers in terms of like, you know, they get the community members to come up and share their complaints. That's not happening. But yes, it is a public work session in terms of it is. If I don't know if it's on actual television, but I know I think KGW was streaming it. I think some of the when I watched the county one was that last week that one went down. I watched it on the Wright Gazaway had a link and K2 was live streaming it, and that's how I saw it. So there are ways you can go watch this.
Channel 2 is on a commercial right now, so I don't know.
Okay, so it is currently, you can stream it, and Wright has a link at portland.gov. Mm. You can go watch it there and stream it, and you can follow along on what's going on. So I have not seen any quotes out yet. He just reported that Dwayne Hankins was the first speaker of the day, and so we are underway. Will we get positive news out of that? Your guess is as good as mine, brother, but I'm hoping that we do end up getting some good news out of that. Let's get to Our neighborhood restaurant group brings you the fan poll question on X every day at dinner tonight at one of their five locations: San Diego's Biggs Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, Lorehurst Market Steakhouse.
Loxley's got a great suit for Marilyn, by the way.
It is a great.
This is his last one. He went out styling and profiling.
Red pinstripe suit's a fantastic look.
That's a guy who I'd go to his church.
I'd go to his church, too. Also looks really good bald. He pulls it off.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's a good head right there.
Another good bald.
Should banks have vendor tents at your local street fair? 80% of you say no.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.